go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. He's the image of the invisible God. It was Jesus showing up in that burning bush. It was Jesus showing up at the Battle of Jericho. Remember at the burning bush there was? You take your shoes off your feet, for the place you stand is holy. Now all he beheld at that point was he beheld a bush that burned but was not consumed. And God was in the bush and he spoke and he says, take your shoes off your feet, for the place you stand is holy ground. Now the second place we hear that statement said is at the Battle of Jericho. Joshua is trying to size up this battle he has to undertake, the biggest, baddest city that God has brought him to thus far. He has no idea what the game plan is, and he's just out there meditating and alone, and the Lord shows up. The Lord Jesus. We call it a Christophany or a theophany, but a visible manifestation of the invisible God. And when he showed up, Joshua saw a man with a sword. He stood up to draw a sword, and he said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? He says, neither one. I am here as the captain of the Lord's host. And he fell on his face and he worshiped. And he says, take your shoes off your feet, for the place you stand is holy ground. So God had showed up with Joshua, which is really a powerful manifestation of the invisible God. But he came in his pre-incarnate condition at that point. He had not taken upon him the robe of flesh. Another place you see in the Old Testament, God walking by, manifested to Abraham. Abraham sitting in his tent, and three men came by. He perceived that the one was God. And he told him about this destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was that intercession. If there be 10, will you destroy them for 10? No, not for 10. And we see Jesus showing up all along the way. The reason I'm making much of this is to show us that this is huge. It's huge because God localized himself in the person of his Son. He localized himself in the person of his Son. Listen, for you and for me. We can now get our minds around God, which would be much more difficult if we just stayed in the clouds and thick darkness, if we had just stayed in the place of the invisibility of God. But what we do find is that God manifested himself in a very tangible way, even in the Old Testament. A passage that I truly love to revisit periodically, just to remind myself of how awesome the Lord Jesus is in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28. And these are verses that talk about Jesus sitting upon his throne in the canopy that rides upon the storm. This is him in all of his glory. The beauty of it is that Ezekiel sees this thing coming, and when he gets there, he kind of comes up over the canopy and he's like looking down. It's like zooming in. It's like beyond our comprehension. And these are the words that he depicts that through. And he talked about these four living creatures on the corner of each part of this canopy that was the throne canopy or chariot upon which the Lord would travel. And it says, above the firmament was over their heads. And that's talking about those living creatures. It says, was over their heads was the likeness of a throne and the appearance of a sapphire stone, just like those 70 elders and Moses and Nadab and Abihu and Aaron all saw, sapphire stone. There was an appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon it was the likeness of a throne. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. The likeness of an appearance. Now we're talking about a likeness. Now he can't really get a close look. It's not till we get to Jesus that you get to go up close and touch him. This is like when he really comes incarnate. The word incarnate means in the flesh. But what he sees is one who is the likeness of appearance of a man above upon that throne. And it says, and I saw as the color of amber. And the color of amber is the color of gold and fire. It says, and I saw as a color of amber, as the appearance of fire around about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about, and the appearance of the bow, this is a rainbow, that is in the cloud of the day in rain. And it says, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I mean, we're talking fire. We're talking fire. And he's just sitting there. Oh, it's the glory of God. Now, that glory we've come in contact with time and again. When Moses saw the glory of God, just as goodness passed by, his face shone with that glory. It just kind of lingered on him. Ezekiel is seeing that glory. That glory was seen in Isaiah 6 in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the glory of his train filled the temple. And it was like this amazing sight that he couldn't quite get his mind around. But what he kind of focuses in on is he says, I saw seraphim that had six wings. With two wings they flew, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they covered their faces, because even the angels couldn't look at his glory. This is why it's saying the likeness of a man. As he's trying to look, if you try to look at something like the sun, it'll burn your eyes out. You know, you just can't do that for very long. You look, oh man, you got spots right away. My point is this, the glory of God is what Jesus represents. He is the visible manifestation. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, even prior to his coming, the glory that he shows himself to own in Isaiah 6 is a glory that is with him from eternity past to all eternity future. Because he is God. The Bible talks to us about him being God incarnate because it's been said over and over again. Let me give you an illustration of where this is in no uncertain terms put forth. It's in the book of Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 6. Now that's a verse you ought to know in your heart. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born. That's the nativity. Unto us a son is given. That is Calvary. Hear it? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now he's going to be king. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. This is a kingdom that he personally was vouchsafed through King David. It was like, David, you're getting it right, you're figuring things out. And he says, you're never going to cease to have somebody seated upon the throne. And even though Israel was in shambles by the time the Lord Jesus showed up, Mary and Joseph both arrive as descendants of King David, making sure nobody would question whether he had a right to that throne. Joseph was the rightful heir, but he wasn't the physical dad. He just fulfilled the role of hedge and father. Mary was the one who had this privilege of bringing forth the son to David. Joseph was the one who gives him the right to the throne. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now listen to this. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. But listen to this. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. You hear that? His name shall be called the Mighty God. Go one step further. The Everlasting Father. Does it get any clearer than that? He that hath seen me, Philip, has seen the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The Son has exegeted him, has led him forth, has pressed himself into time and space to show us what the Father looks like. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He will be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If you want another verse for that, you can find it in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the Almighty. That's who he is. Guys, listen. This Jesus who came on the earth and split time, we look at our calendars, you know, in the year of our Lord, we go back to his arrival, his birth, his existence. He pressed himself into real time and space. And I want you to know something. He's going to do it again. He's coming back. After he was crucified and buried and rose again, there he was presenting himself before the disciples who were having a real hard time getting their mind around any of this. They saw him slaughtered. They saw him ripped apart. They saw him die. And then he shows up and he says, "Touch me. Handle me." He says, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. Give me a piece of meat. Do you have anything? Fish." And he ate. And then he tells them, you know, you need to be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I put my hand in his side and put my thumb in the prints of his hand. I won't believe." A week later, because he was having a hard, he was resolved not to believe. A week later, Jesus showed up and he fell on his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus received that designation. I just want you to know something. The lowly Jesus, the carpenter, the one in robes, the one who laid aside his vestments and put on a towel and went around and washed the feet of those disciples, was God of very God. It's who he was. And he is the reason we have hope that we've been forgiven our transgressions through the redemption that he brought through his blood. He is the one that makes it true that we have a kingdom to go to at all. He could have begged out, but he didn't. He knew. The Bible says, "Through his knowledge, my servant will justify many," in Isaiah in chapter 53. He will justify many through his knowledge. What did he know? He knew he had to die for us. He knew that if he didn't do it, there was no plan B. Had there been any other way to get you and me into God's kingdom, redeeming us, reclaiming us, and reconciling us, if there would have been any other way, it would have been sought. And he made great cries and groans and called out to the Father to remove that cup from him. And the Bible says, and he was heard because of the agony of his soul. I want you to get an appreciation for a moment. Again, context, they were trying to worship angels. And he says, you need to know Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. You need to know that. You don't need angels. You got Jesus. Now, what is our propensity? We're to look at the lowly Jesus and think, well, he was a nice guy. He was a nice teacher. He was a good person. No, he was God of very gods. And what we understand is that because he died on that cross, he was the only one that had enough righteousness to overwhelm the massive amount of sin that you and I represent. He became the ocean to all of our wickedness, into which we then could be put in. The Bible says we are in him, and in him we have been granted forgiveness. In him we've been sealed. In him we have been given inheritance. There's in hims over and over again in the scriptures. Let me go through another couple of verses. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 6, it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There it is again. He's the image of the invisible God. It says, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, listen, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, that's big stuff. I told you we're going deep, right? And you've got this picture that is being painted. The glory in Isaiah's vision, Ezekiel's vision, fire and glory. We see the glory at the burning bush. We see the glory on the mountain where Moses saw him. We see the glory manifesting itself throughout their 40 years of wandering with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. We see the glory of God hovering over these people. You and I see him in such stark contrast to all of those ethereal, clear, heavenly body kind of things. Sometimes very mystical. Sometimes very tangible. Samson's parents saw God. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. "Tell me your name. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." And he says, "What should I do for you?" He says, "Tell me your name." He thought, "Well, you could have asked for anything. Why do you want to know my name?" Listen, guys, the most beautiful name in the world is the name of Jesus. It is the sweetest name we know.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.